call the meeting to order. And do we have a motion to modify or adopt the agenda?
I'd move to adopt it as presented.
Do we have a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Who's the second?
Oh, Jim Rafter.
Oh, sorry, second. Jim.
Oh, there he is.
There you are.
There I am.
All right. Motion passes. Approval of minutes from February 10th, 2021. Do we have a motion?
Motion to approve. Rafter.
Second.
Gingrich. Okay. We have a motion and a second by the Jim Squared. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none. Brad, did we get any public appearances and anybody submitting things or Sean?
Yes, I've got a couple.
Okay.
The first one I received was from Mark Bolin at 826 McCormick Street, or McCaslin, excuse me, McCaslin. Mark indicated his unfavorable, I just want to paraphrase, he's not in favor of expanding the yard waste site.
Okay.
For several reasons. We also received a correspondence from Gary Emmers from 800D East River Drive, De Pere. Mr. Emmers also is stating several reasons to not expand the yard waste site. Just wanted to make sure that both of these were included into the record to Public Works. The discussion I've had was that it will come back in the near future for further discussion once we have more of the feasibility study done. But
Emmer's letter went to the De Pere folks, right? Alder persons in De Pere?
Yeah.
And copies to us or whatever?
Correct. And the last one, we've received many emails and phone calls from residents on Roselawn and Beaumont Street opposing sidewalks. And we did receive a petition on March 2nd from the residents along Beaumont and St. Matthew's Street indicating their desire not to have sidewalks. So I just wanted to make sure those were all included into the record.
Okay.
Excellent.
Beaumont sidewalk on the east or west side plan?
West.
West side.
Okay, thank you.
All right, new business. Discussion action 712 Alloway Terrace brush charge.
January, every year we go out and pick up brush. The main purpose being that we pick up Christmas trees. January 11th of this year, the week of January 11th of this year, we went out and picked up brush. I'll call it a special pickup. It's posted on our website and in the All About Alloway magazine. There were a number of Christmas trees that were placed at the curb outside of the week that we were out picking up brush, 47 to be exact. Of the 47, 40 of them were removed by the homeowners. I should mention that the 47 were tagged by Mike Lauder, the code enforcement officer. Tags were placed. The homeowners have 48 hours to remove the tree. If they're not removed, then Mike coordinates with Jim, and we go out and pick them up and haul them down to the yard waste site. So seven in total were removed by the street department. We had received a call from the homeowner at 712 Alloway Terrace. He had unfortunately placed the tree after we had gone through the village the week of January 11th. He placed the tree at the curb. Mike went out, did his rounds, and had tagged the Christmas tree. The property owner did not see the tree, or he claimed that he had never seen the tree. The driveways on Claude Alloway Terrace go to the alleyway located behind the homes. They're not they don't go out to the street facing the home. He had claimed that he had never seen the tag. He gets up early, leaves to go to work, and he comes back late at night, and it's still dark. He never saw the tag. He's disputing the charge. And I had invited him to the meeting tonight. I don't know if he's participating right now, but I had indicated that we would allow him to provide his side of the story if he wanted to dispute this. I don't know if there. I don't know that I have. I don't want to overstep my bounds, I guess, to work with a resident. I'm trying to do my best to be fair and consistent with everyone. If somebody continues to challenge and isn't satisfied with the information provided, then we ask to come in and share their side of the story. And Derek, I don't know if you're on the line, but if so, if you want to provide additional information to the Public Works Committee, this would be your chance. I guess if he's not present, I guess I'm looking for some direction from the Public Works Committee on whether or not we want to work with this individual. He's claiming that he never saw the tag. I'm sorry, he never saw the Christmas. Never, yeah. I guess never saw the tag on the Christmas tree and didn't know that he had to remove it. So,
where are the garbage cans placed on that street?
That's a good question, Jim. Alleyway. They're placed on the alleyway.
They are in the alleyway.
Why wouldn't he put his tree there? Or am I missing something?
So that's a good question.
That is a really good question.
Do you normally pick up brush from the alleyway?
We do check the alleys, yes.
Okay.
A quick question for everyone. Can you see me? Because my screen went totally black.
We can see you.
Yeah, I can see you.
Smile.
I have absolutely nothing.
My gremlin went to your computer now. That's what happened to me earlier.
It's like crazy. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was really hoping that he would be participating in this meeting to provide his side. When somebody puts brush out during a non-collection week, we charge somebody $200. I have looked closer into that charge. I feel it's fair for the village's time to go out to inspect, to tag, to coordinate the removal, to run out. Collect it, haul it away, dispose of it, and come back. And admin time spent via phone calls or putting together the special charge. Time spent by Jim, myself, and others talking to these people when they do get a charge. Many times they have a lot of questions. I feel the charge is fair, but I feel we also need to have a means by which somebody can dispute a charge for whatever reason. I thought this guy's reasoning was justifiable. I guess didn't see the tag because this driveway doesn't go to Alloway Terrace. It goes to the alleyway in the back. But, Jim, you bring up a good point. Why didn't he put it behind his house? So,
where did everyone else put their trees?
on that street.
Hopefully they brought them to us at LeBron.
I mean, were other home trees tagged on that street?
That I don't know. Mike would know that. I wasn't on the loader that day. I couldn't tell you how many were in the back and how many were in the front.
There were none in the back.
There were none in the back?
No.
Oh, is that you, Greg?
I did have my ones in the front, and they removed them after the notice was given.
Okay, I'm sorry, could you repeat that, Mike?
I said, I had other ones tagged in the front, and they were moved after the notice was given.
Okay. So he wasn't alone in putting his in the front.
If I could add, I tried to get a picture to you. He has a walkway from his house down to the street. It was plowed. That's where he walked and put his tree on. I do my best to make sure that the notice is facing either if people are coming in the driveway or if it has to face the house if they're looking outside. And that's what was done with the tree. The notice was in the back of the tree where if he would have looked out his windows at all, he should have seen it.
Is his mailbox there by the street where the tree was?
I think the mailbox is on the house, yeah. Yes, correct. On the front of the house, pretty sure.
Okay, so he wouldn't have to walk down to the curb to get it, okay.
No.
Yeah, I'm sorry, guys. I was finishing up a different meeting here and just joined a few seconds ago. Remind me on this. We tag the tree, but there's also a notice that's put on the door or put in the mailbox. Well, we can't really do that. I guess on the door or something like that, or is it just on the debris itself?
Just on the tree. Just on the debris.
Okay.
Mike, is that correct?
Yes. On all 47 of them, the notice was placed on a tree with a zip tie.
Did we ever used to do a combination notification, such as on the debris as well as taped to a door, or I guess legally we can't put it in the mailbox, right? We're not allowed to do that. So,
right.
Put on a doorknob or something, or no? Has it always just been on the debris itself?
We just put the notices like this on the debris.
Oh, so that's always been the case. Okay.
Yes.
Thanks.
Is this the only incident that we've had in the village?
No.
This is the Christmas tree incident we've had.
Right, the Christmas tree.
Mike had tagged 47 Christmas trees that were placed outside of the collection week of January 11th. Of the 47, 40 were removed by the homeowner. 7 were billed.
Okay. And of the 7 billed, how many paid?
5. 5 were paid, 2 were disputed. We looked into one today. Property owner indicated that they had put the tree out before they left to go on vacation. They put it out a day or two before they left. On vacation, they had left before the 11th of January, so they put it out ahead of time. When we were out collecting trees, we did not see it. We missed it. And we know that because Jim had gone over and talked to the property owner, homeowner today, or yesterday, and explained the process and the fee, the reason for the charge, and the homeowner was able to come up with evidence that it was placed on his doorbell, ring doorbell. He had a picture and a date, and there it was in front of the house. So we missed it, and we dropped that charge. So we've got one being currently disputed. Okay. It's this one. I may add that we haven't had any issues with this resident before. First offense, I guess. You want to call it that?
How long has the resident been there, do we know?
What?
Not
very long. I don't think for more than a few years.
I would, I'm not opposed to letting it go. Using it as an educational opportunity.
Okay.
Personally. I think we've done something like that before. You know, if you believe what he says, and, you know, he leaves when it's dark, comes home when it's dark. It's not home in between. He's home on the weekends, I'm guessing, but I don't know how long it was out there, but I don't mind giving the resident the benefit of the doubt. You're on mute, Jim.
I hope Mike wouldn't think we're undermining his authority. I think Mike's still with us, right?
Mike, you there?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't hear. I'm sorry.
Okay.
You know, I'm thinking we need to, you know, support Mike in his endeavors, but I'm not opposed to waiving the fee and saying, okay. You know, I mean, $200 for a Christmas tree is kind of pricey, so. And I get it, but I guess I concur with President Rafter to waive it.
Yeah, I'm not undermining Mike's authority at all. It's
right.
He's doing a great job, and but I think there are instances where, I mean, the most of the people paid, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying you should know the rules, but everyone should know the rules. And if his neighbors are putting the tree out, he puts the tree out, and he doesn't see the tag, it's not really our responsibility. But I don't know.
I don't know. You know, Jim, you just said it. People are supposed to know the rules. Are you setting a precedent here? I mean, please be honest, because we always are on these calls. Is it more of a mess to get into, we'll split the fee with you this one time. Give us 100, you know, pay the village 100. Yeah. You know, and consider that a pretty strong warning with a slight penalty. Or does that just create an even bigger issue?
No, I think we've done stuff like that in the past.
We have.
We're understanding the situation, but at the same time, people should know the rules. So
it's part of living in a village. I mean, they need to understand.
Right.
I think that sounds fair.
Yep.
Okay.
Do you guys need a motion on that or just direction? I would say direction, right?
If you tell me I don't need to go to the village board with this, I'll go ahead and give... Derek could call tomorrow and let him know that I think he'd be okay with that outcome, and we move on.
I still think you're going to want some sort of a motion, or okay. I get, you know, I just think it would be easier. You've got something on record.
Okay.
And Sean, did you mean waive the fee or split the fee?
Oh no, split it. I like that, the idea of splitting the fee with him. We understand his take, I guess, on what happened, and we'll work with him.
Okay.
Well, then, if we're going to make a motion, this is an advisory committee. It's not a decision-based committee, so we would have to recommend it to the board.
Correct.
You still would like a motion?
I would.
I'll make a motion that we recommend the village board make a one-time exception for this resident, and we split the. We only charge them half the fee because of the extenuating circumstances.
Yeah, this is Ted. I'd second. I'd like it so to state that we are splitting the fee with them.
Yeah.
As opposed to reducing the fee. How about that?
Correct. So I got a recommendation is a one-time exception to split the fee.
Yes.
Okay.
And then with that, we know they've already got a copy of All About Alloway and a copy of the recycle brush and everything else schedule.
Go on. I'm sorry.
Oh, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Oh. All right, engineering vehicle purchase.
Lynn, could I just interrupt for a quick second?
Oh, yeah.
Well, Sean, when you're speaking to the resident, please ask him if he hasn't already to sign up for the village emails.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Make note of that quick.
Thank you, Lynn.
Yep. All right. Are we ready to go on to the next item?
Vehicle purchase.
Okay. With the hiring of a second engineering tech late last summer, we're in the need of purchasing a second engineering vehicle. On top of that, we're hopeful that we can hire a seasonal inspector as well to assist with the inspection of this year's projects. So we're asking tonight to move ahead with the purchase of a second vehicle. This vehicle would be used for used mainly by Derek Taylor, the new engineering tech, for engineering and inspection purposes. Actually, I should say that Jeff Pietti, if this purchase is approved, would be using the recently purchased vehicle, and Derek would be using the van that we currently have. This vehicle would carry the following tools and equipment. It would carry survey equipment, stakes, ribbon, cones, other temporary traffic control devices such as flagging, maybe some smaller barricades. It would be used quite a bit spring through the end of the year when we're out scoping projects and constructing street projects. Jim Sigalski, street foreman, had called around to find out who offers state bid pricing, and he had discovered that Ewald Automotive Group, I believe it's in the Milwaukee area, provides the best straight state pricing. And through conversations that we had with the village's mechanic, Jeff Pietti, engineering tech, Jim, myself, and Mike, we felt a truck would be best suited for our needs, a pickup truck with a side cab, a half cab, for storage of maps, a laptop, record drawings. It'll leave the front seat open so that if need be, somebody could jump in with Jeff. That could be that seasonal person or somebody else. In the back, we would have a slider system we could put the equipment in and pull it out in the field. It would have a cap on it as well. Jim had gotten prices for two different trucks, a 2021 Ram 1500 Tradesman and a 2021 Ford F-150 Super Cab. Box width, length, sorry, of roughly 6 feet. The prices are in front of you. You can see that the state bid pricing is much lower than the sticker on the truck. The Ram pricing was the lowest at a state bid price of $20,439. Altogether, with the accessories, that would be the cap, the slide out system. You're looking at a total of about $23,500. Jim, do you have anything to add to that?
No, you did a really good job.
Yeah. Jim, I'd ask quite quick, what have you guys noticed in the village with the longevity of these trucks. I don't want to get into that personal, you know, argument that we're all going to have on Chevy versus Ford versus Dodge. But honestly, have you noticed a difference with longevity? I mean, if we're talking an extra 3,300, is a Ford going to last an extra couple of years compared to the Ram? Has anyone noticed this, or am I crazy for even talking about it?
Well, as we all know, they all rust like crazy.
Right.
Very early on. Ford does have an aluminum body, I believe. Is that correct yet, Ted?
Yeah, it does.
I'm anticipating that this truck will last between 12 and 15 years with the amount of use it'll get.
So I guess what I'm going after is in your experience or in the crew's experience, is there a brand of truck that usually lasts longer for them with the type of application we're talking about, or is it really a horse piece?
I think we have all three, Ford, Chevy, and Dodge currently.
Yeah, we do.
We got a Ford Transit from Ewald last year. I think MSRP was 40. We got it for like 26 at the library, and we just ordered a Ford Super Cab four-wheel drive long box that should be delivered in a couple months. And I think, again, MSRP was like 38, and I think we paid, you know, 26 or something like that.
Did you say, did you buy that from Ewald too?
Yes, on the state contract pricing.
Yeah.
Okay. We just went with the Ford because it's the only one with an extra cab and a long box. No other manufacturers make that anymore. Or it's not offered on the state contract, at least.
Everybody else has a four-door system.
Yeah, we got the one with the suicide doors. So it's not the true cab, it's the super cab.
Yep, and they are the only one that produced that.
Cool. All right, so help me on that then. Sorry, guys. So we want the 8-foot box. If that's the case, then you only got one choice. Or are we saying that 6.5 box is enough?
Yeah.
The 6.5 box is what we want, Ted.
Okay. So then, is there any advantage to doing a Super Crew with a 6.5 box, which you could do with the Ford, which will actually give you legitimate room for five individuals if you ever needed them? I don't think that would be a huge price difference, or is that just not worth it?
No, I don't think we need a crew cab. We do need some room behind it. When we go out, we typically go out, a person goes out to do inspection. Or to go out and make measurements, or to respond to a call. Spring of every year, we do utilize Jim's truck because it is a crew cab, four-door. When we go out and rate our roadways, typically there could be three or four of us in that truck. Typically two, but I have gone along to look at some streets. So, no, I don't think we need a crew cab, a four-door truck. But
So then going back to the... Oh, go ahead, Jim.
I was just going to ask if there's no need for four-wheel drive, in your opinion.
No.
So then, I'm sorry, where do we land with the 6.5 bed versus the 8-foot bed? Does that matter?
We don't need an 8-foot box. 6 will suffice.
So then we're really back to the first two options then, and trying to figure out, as the Ford, would it be worth the extra $3,300, right? Is that where we are?
Right.
What parts did you say were aluminum?
The whole body on the Ford is going to be aluminum. Your chassis is still going to be, you know, high tensile steel, but the rest of the truck.
The body panels are aluminum?
Yep. Whole truck.
Correct. That sounds like a... Sounds kind of nice. No rust there?
They've been doing that since 2015 with the Fords.
Then all their trucks are just the platinum.
Yep, the F-150, the entire line, and then, you know, you've got some arguments, well, the aluminum is thinner and weaker. Well, the nice thing is because the aluminum is lighter, they go thicker than the thickness of the steel, which gives them the strength, but you still also have the rust fighting ability or rust resistance to it. Yeah, the entire F-150 line is and actually 250-350 line is all aluminum.
Is there a reason besides price that you chose the Dodge?
We haven't made any. We don't have any preference either way. I guess if the Ford will hold up longer than for the $3,000, we should move ahead with that purchase. Jim, correct me if I'm wrong. They didn't provide state pricing for the Chevy.
No, they don't have 21 state pricing for the 20 and or for the Chevy, and they're not aware of it yet for 22.
In my experience, the Chevy is always the most expensive, and the Dodge is always the cheapest.
Correct.
Question. How is our engineering tech getting around today?
He's using the car that we have that admin staff uses.
Okay, and what's wrong with that?
He'll need to have at his disposal survey equipment, stakes, barricades, cones. And that's a pretty small car.
Isn't he? So if he's out doing that, that means Jeff doesn't have to be doing it, correct?
They'll both be out in the field for sure this year and then in the future as well. Derek will be out inspecting one of the street reconstruction projects. Jeff will be out. His role will be overseeing the inspection of all of our projects this year. And we have the street resurfacing project that we're going to talk about soon. We have two street reconstruction projects, a sewer lining project, and a sewer lateral replacement. All five, with the exception of a lateral replacement project, I guess the four projects have multiple streets included with them. So we're going to have an extremely busy year with the hiring of Derek and the hope of hiring a seasonal engineer. We're not going to hire a second inspector from a consulting firm like we had in 19. We're going to utilize our staff to inspect these projects. There will still be the need to hire a consultant, one inspector, this year because of the street reconstruct projects.
So how many outside engineers did we have last year?
In 19, we had two inspectors at the cost of about $150,000.
Okay. So this year we're only going to spend $50,000 on an inspector?
$75,000 to $80,000 on inspector. Well, we spent $150,000 in 2019, so half of that is $75,000. That include the contract that we had with one of them to do the construction staking, which was roughly speaking $40,000.
Okay, so by doing that, you're saving $75,000.
Yes.
And that old white van that Jeff drives, that thing's got to be 15 years old, isn't it?
I think it's closer to 20.
Okay.
It's a 99 and. You know, on the five-year equipment replacement plan, we have that identified in the next few years to be replaced. But again, if there's nothing wrong with it, there's no reason to replace it. So we're going to run it as long as we can.
Okay.
And at that time, we'll look to see what we have available. And we did that before during this process, we had looked to see what we have in our current fleet that we could use. And what we currently have is pretty aged. We had even looked at the possibility of sharing Bob's truck, the mechanic's truck. But he needs that. He needs to, on a weekly basis, they go out and purchase parts to to repair equipment. They go out from time to time to make repairs in the field. So I think it's important that he has a truck at his disposal all of the time. But in the future, maybe we can somehow work that out where maybe we don't, when that van, when we need to replace that van, maybe we find a way to do it by sharing a vehicle with Bob. But I don't think that's the direction we should head on this purchase.
Well, given the pros of the aluminum Ford body and all that, I'd be prepared to make a motion to recommend to the board that we buy that Ford Super Cab with a 6.5 foot box and proceed from there. I mean, that's a heck of a discount at $10,000 or whatever it is.
I second that.
Yeah, me too. I think that's a smart investment.
Chairman,
Brad has a question.
Chairman Green?
I'm Brad.
Not to pinch pennies, but you know, the aluminum box and the rust problem is because the vehicle is used winter months, correct? That was the primary purpose. This is an engineering vehicle that typically will not be utilized during the winter months. So is it, you know, you're only talking $3,000-some-odd and you know, you could extend the life to many years, but again, just throwing that out, pinching a few pennies and trying to decide, is that really the direction we want to go? It, you know, that's certainly an option.
So these don't hit the road in the winter months, even when there's not a lot of snow or anything like that?
Typically not.
Salt dust up there?
Primary use will be between April and December. April projects can get started as soon as middle to end of April, early May, and then we're out until the end of the year. At the end of the year, we're working with the contractor, developing the contractors, making the final measurements so that we can make the final pay requests, or second the final pay requests. Final pay requests are always the following year when the restoration's been completed. But January, February, they're not used a whole lot. Early March, only when we get a complaint or a call to go out. But
are there other trucks that are used mainly in the winter and not in the summer?
Our plow trucks,
but
obviously we wouldn't use that. No, Jim.
What was the question again? I'm sorry.
Do we have pickup trucks that are in storage or that we use primarily in the winter and not in the summertime?
No, we use them year-round, the pickup trucks.
Okay.
Primarily in the summertime for hot patching. We have a sewer truck that goes out every day. We have line striping. They get used all year long.
Okay.
So I don't know enough about the Dodge, but I did go through the Ford build process, and it seemed like their safety features were great. I'm assuming probably all manufacturers have those now, like backup camera and you know, side warming and stuff like that. Did anyone really go through the different models to look at those features, like safety features?
I have looked through it, yes. I have three different ones in front of me right now. I'd have to look at this quickly, see what I have marked down.
I'm still kind of generally in favor of the Ford. Whether it's winter or not, the rust will still, it'll still just last longer, in my opinion. But if, I don't know, if Sean and Jim feel it's not necessary, then I would still vote for the.
Yeah, I can adjust the motion if you guys would just soon go with the Dodge. We could do that, you know.
I mean, Jim, I appreciate your point, but honestly, it's still going to see the salt and the dust in the air, and it's going to eat it up. It's going to eat up the steel that's still on the floor. The parts of the floor that are still steel, but luckily they're going to be the thicker components compared to the body. So I just suspect that aluminum body is going to look better in 10 to 15 years than a steel body is, which will reflect better on the village. I think for $3,000 and change, I think it would give us longer life and better look.
Jim, I know we've had some issues. You drive a Dodge truck. We've had some engine issues with that. Have we had any engine issues with the Dodge trucks in the water department?
No.
Okay.
No, we had a cam issue in mine that was inherent to that year. The police cars had it, and the 5.7s had it.
Okay.
Well, you guys have brought up some good points, too, about if we did go with one with an aluminum body that can take the salt more, is there any other rearranging of trucks we can do? Jim, speak to yours about, are there trucks we don't use in the winter that we do use in the summer, and would this one be better utilized in the winter because it would stand up better? Not meaning to complicate the issue, but... Because if this one is being used between December to April, is there a role for that?
I would think it would have to be four-wheel drive for us to drive it for more our purposes.
Okay.
Well, Chad, when a truck gets high in miles and whether it's in the water department or engineering or not street but other departments, parks department, those trucks end up being transferred and repurposed into the street department for use as patch trucks in the summer and used by our seasonals. We have two or three right now that I don't know if they've got to be. Jim, how old are those trucks? 15, 20 years old?
We have 97, 99, 2002, I believe.
So we've been trying to run these trucks as long.
I think our newest one is a 2012.
Okay. Someday this truck might get transferred to the street department and used for street patching.
I would have to agree with Ted. I'm personally a Chevy person, so it's not like a Ford Chevy Dodge thing, but yeah. I like the Ford.
Sure. It's about $200 a year over 15 years. So unless somebody's in love with the Dodge Ram, go forward.
Okay.
So the motion I have from, I think Jim Kenrick made the motion, Kurt seconded to recommend to the village board to purchase the Ford F-150 6.5-foot box. And my screen goes out, so I can't see the rest of the... so that's the motion I've got.
All right. Any more discussion on that item?
I mean, there's nobody there, Sean or Jim, you wouldn't say, oh, no, we don't want that, right? I mean, you're...
No, we just need a truck.
Yeah, okay. And I totally appreciate your price sensitivity.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely.
All right, all those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, and now I have you where I can see everybody as they raise their hands. Before, I was missing people. So, all right, next item, reconstruction projects.
On February 16th, we opened bids for this year's street resurfacing project. We received two bids, one from Northeast Asphalt and one from MCC Inc. Northeast Asphalt was the overall the low bidder. The bid included a base bid and three alternatives. In the base bid, it included the following streets, actually four parts, which comprised of three streets. Included rehabilitation of St. Mary's Boulevard from Webster Avenue East, 1,400 feet. The resurfacing of Rosemont Drive from Arbor Lane to Webster, and Culp Street from Webster to Libel Street. Also included in the base bid was a part for miscellaneous street repair. Included with the bid were three alternatives. Alternative one was the resurfacing of McCormick Street from Clay to Irwin. The rehabilitation of Hilltop Drive, alternate two, from Clay to Delahut. And then a third alternate to finish the paving, the resurfacing that we had done on the St. Joseph Street alleyway behind Associated Bank, roughly speaking, 160 feet to finish the work we started last year. We had gotten great pricing. I don't know that I've seen prices this good since 2017, 2018. Because of that, we can afford to take on the alternates that we're bid. We're not in. We don't need to. We can pick and choose. We can pick one or all of them. We can pick none. They were added as alternates to give us, if we got favorable prices, the opportunity to take on more work. And with the pricing we received, we can take on all of this work. And be under budgeted amount this year. So $500,000 for paving. The work under this contract is actually allocated to a handful of accounts that consist of street repair. We've got $50,000 in street repair. Hold on, I've got it in front of me here. We pull from nine different works accounts or budgets. Street repair, we've got $50,000 in there. That's mainly used for miscellaneous patching, manhole adjustment, curb and gutter, $10,000, paving, $500,000, sidewalk, $10,000, and then sanitary sewer. Water main, storm sewer. So, if over the winter we have a water main break, the restoration of that would be restored under this contract, and that cost would get allocated, budgeted to a water account activity. So. We have the funds to take on all of this work. We don't necessarily have to if we don't want to, but I would recommend that we move ahead and proceed with all of the alternates. That we would move ahead with the low bidder.
Sean, can I ask a question?
Sure.
So the low bidder was 438, right? 438,000.
Yep.
And when I look at the alternate projects, the first, so that leaves us $60,000 under the 500.
Keep in mind that of that 438,000, that expense is allocated amongst nine to 10 different accounts.
Okay. Okay.
Yep.
But it's still the budget of $500,000, correct?
We have no our budget. It includes not only the paving budget of $500,000. It includes a handful of other accounts. It includes curb and gutter, sidewalk, street repair, and then the storm sanitary and water accounts as well.
Well, if that's the case, I think at budget time we should relook at that. It was my understanding that we are allocating $500,000 a year for street maintenance, up from $300,000 not all that long ago. And if we're only using that $500,000 for the actual paving and not the whole street maintenance, I would have a concern, quite honestly. I mean, how much are we spending above and beyond the $500,000 in total maintenance?
Isn't there another $70,000 in those different accounts? $50,000,
$10,000? Yeah. If we elect to go with all of the alternates, the adjusted total base bid would be $575,985.10. So, $76,000 is being allocated to a handful of other accounts. And keep in mind that this contract, there are a lot of parts in this contract, and some of which address the repairs needed after a water main break in the winter to go out and make repair to a street, curb and gutter. That expense is charged to the water department, not to the paving account. Trying to think of some other good examples. Storm manhole and inlet repair, that's included in this as well. And when we look at our street, when we look at the streets for this particular project, we also take a really good look at the underground infrastructure and look to see, you know, what improvements are needed, if any at all. This when you're milling off or removing the pavement in its entirety, it's a good opportunity to make other repairs, and that work is included in this contract as well. So,
okay.
Does that help answer your question?
Yep. Thank you.
I think we'll make some residents very happy. I know some on Hilltop that have expressed their concerns, and if we can get this all done for this number, I think we should do it.
Well, I'll make a motion we recommend to the Village Board that they approve Northeast Asphalt base bid and all three alternates.
Second. It's Ted.
And John, you've done something right, either with the engineering or the writing the specification, because I just love it when bids come in this close to each other. That's just a sign that it was written correctly.
Great timing.
Thank you. And we you're right. That is a reflection of having a good plan and spec. We always strive to get our plans out as projects out as soon as possible, and we're hoping we have the same results with the street reconstruct projects as well. So
those savings toward the Ford.
Good deal. Any further questions on this one?
Got to see if Raffer was smiling at that or not. Am I in trouble? Yeah. Can't tell.
Oh, he's absent.
Missed my opportunity.
So I'm glad I have all of you now up where I can see everybody at once. Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, motion carries. Doty, safe routes to school.
All right. I'm going to scroll to a different page. Here we go. Just recently received an amendment to the Doherty Safe Route to School engineering agreement. We have we're close to completing the 60% plans for the sidewalk project. When the project was originally scoped, the consulting firm had purposely not included the cost to put together a right-of-way plat and TLE exhibits, and to the cost to obtain title searches until we got to a point where we had determined what we needed for temporary limited easements and permanent limited easements. Now that that information is known, the consultant has submitted to us an amendment to their engineering agreement. The cost to put together the plat, the TLE exhibits, and to obtain the title searches, that cost is roughly $15,000 of the $17,500 they're asking for. The remaining amount, about $2,500, is additional engineering services as a result of the work that we had to do at the intersection design work that we had to do at the intersection of LeBron and East River Drive for the connection to De Pere sidewalk to the south, and the work needed to serve a sidewalk someday, hopefully down LeBron. So the amendment cost is approximately $17,500, and I guess I'd make a recommendation to this committee to approve this amendment to the original engineering agreement.
Were you expecting this?
Yes, I had. Again, they didn't provide a cost in the original contract because there was no way to know at the time how many TLEs and how many permanent limited easements we would need for this project. So we had to work through the design of the project to determine the impacts, and we're at that point. And we need to begin to put together these exhibits in this plat and get the title searches so that we get started with the right-of-way acquisition. This project is to be built in 2022.
Was this budgeted in 2020 and then carryover, or?
This was budgeted for in our bonding that we had done in 2019, and I had put a placeholder for this expense. I don't want to share that price with you. I can if you want, but I don't know if I would. I'd estimated this expense at $50,000. Didn't necessarily want to say that because I don't want to get a revised amendment. But a large majority or portion of that is to hire realtor Randy Moss to go out and take care of the acquisition that we need, right?
So this is a lot less than what you anticipated.
Well, I don't have an agreement with Randy Moss yet, but I yes, to answer your question, I hope so.
And this is still part of Safe Routes, right?
Yes. Okay. Yep.
So 80-20 feds?
Yep. What's that?
80-20 federal
share. Yes. Cool. Yes, and we did get funding for design. Yep. The grant the right-of-way acquisition costs are not eligible under the grant.
Okay.
For whatever reason, but the engineering fees are.
Cool.
Okay. All right. Do we have a motion on this item?
Move to recommend to the board that we proceed with this and pay the $17,000 toward the engineering costs.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right. Any further questions? And I guess it was put off for in a public meeting with regards to this one. Sean, any further one planned?
Say that again, I'm sorry.
Public meetings with regards to this as it gets going again?
No. We had discussed that at this committee and at Village Board due to COVID, and it was discussed late summer, fall of last year that due to COVID that we weren't going to hold a traditional type public informational meeting that in the place of an in-person meeting that we would send out a mailer, and we had included with the mailer was there were plans and there was a comment form. We had at the last Public Works Committee reviewed the comments that we had received. Overall, most of the comments weren't either for or against sidewalk. It was, are you going to avoid my tree? Are we going to be special assessed for the cost? No. We're doing our best to avoid trees. I think there was maybe one or two comments from residents impacted by the project that were against, but of the six, I think 16 comments that we had received, only two were not in favor of the sidewalk.
Okay, good. I just want to make sure it's well addressed before it comes back, especially since our timeline changed. Because if we have new owners, et cetera, in there in the time, restart now and then later.
Did you have a second for the motion of Jim's?
We did, Kurt.
Okay, thank you.
No worries. Okay, so all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? No. Okay. Sewage overflow, and oh my goodness, they should see pictures of the Met and the wipes hanging. I think we should put those for residents again, especially if they're plugging our storm sewers. It's just a thought, because the Met, even when we had the tour, that said that even if they say they're flushable, don't do it because they jam up the system.
No wipes in the pipes.
Yeah.
In this particular case, they did. The morning of February 21st, it was a Sunday morning. We were notified by the property owner. The old Eves building, I'll call it that, 2020 Riverside Drive. We were notified morning about 9:30 that there was sewage coming out of manhole cover at a manhole located near his property. Mike Mollick was contacted. He then called Jim, and Jim quickly got an operator, and along with Mike's help, they went over there and removed the blockage, which happened to be unflushable wipes and rags. We had a nominal spill. Minimal amount of water came. Wastewater did come out of that manhole. We're following the protocol. I had called the DNR. I had informed them of the spill, and I had indicated to them, and we were fortunate that this took place in a highly visible location. The property owner happened to just be there at the right time. We responded extremely quickly to the situation. We were able to open it up and restore gravity flow. And I had asked them. I had asked them if this was a reportable activity or offense, and he said yes, that we have to, that we need to, and so I did. And because of the incident, we're going to do two things to make sure that, or do our best to make sure this doesn't happen again. We're going to move up the cleaning of this particular segment of sanitary sewer. Clean it more frequently for some time until we regain our comfort level with it. Every 3 years, we make a full rotation around the village through our sanitary sewer system. We clean most sewers once every 3 years, but we do have a handful that we clean more frequently, and this will get put on that list. Some as much as 3 months, some every 6 months. We're gonna clean this one every 6 months. On top of that, we're gonna get out a letter to those in the apartment off of St. Joseph Street, just that to as a friendly reminder not to put unflushable wipes down the toilet. So
you said there were rags as well. I mean, are we talking like shop towels or
It's a fancy term for can't think of the name of them now. Jim, help me here.
Like the
flushable wipes, tampons. Thank you.
Oh, so okay, feminine products. Pads. Okay. Sorry.
None of which should be down there.
Got it. Let's talk more about this. Let's just make this as uncomfortable as possible.
It's a Ford truck.
That's what I do, team. I just make it really awkward and uncomfortable. All right, got it. So, feminine napkins, if you will. Isn't that still a term? Right. There you go.
Good job, Ted.
That's what I do.
You guys see the pictures at New Water, Ted. It's pretty graphic. Down there goes through all the water processing plants, and it gums up the works at so many different levels. I mean, someday I would like to see us put almost taxpayer dollars that go to these incidences with it and translate it into real money for people. But the pictures...
I got to tell you, our facility support team here has no problems posting emails with pictures to all staff about some of the stuff they pull out. And, so I get it. Makes sense.
And this was just a report, a part of the reporting process that we have to follow. It requires that I share this with Public Works Committee. So
we appreciate those details.
Inspection and Safety Services.
And we had the sewer leak further to the north, right along that line, correct? Like, it was at the end of the summer?
Yeah,
totally unrelated, right? I mean, it couldn't be the same problem or backup or pressure?
No, in that particular case, we had a failure at a manhole. That was somewhat of a unique situation. You're right, we did have a sanitary sewer overflow at Marine near the Fox River Trail.
About 2 blocks north of there, right?
Right at the north end of the village, yeah.
But totally unrelated. That was or something, or a joint that was bad or something?
Exactly. Connection at a manhole went bad. There was 200 feet of sanitary sewer that we had lined, and where we had connected to the upstream manhole, there was a gap between the new carrier pipe and the hose pipe that was at construction was mudded and grouted shut, but over the course of I don't know, a couple years, we had done that in 18, fall of 18, so about a year and a half, 2 years, some of that grout came loose and popped out of there, and there was a void between the carrier and the hose pipe, and that some of that wastewater was traveling in that void down to the bottom of the hill, and when it got to the downstream structure, it couldn't get in, so it was bubbling up through the surface by the trail.
Yeah,
that's fixed, but we have to make some further repairs at that manhole to make sure that doesn't happen again, but that's going to get done soon.
You're meaning the bubbling crude.
Yeah. Texas tea. Not really.
Well, yeah.
Any further questions on that one? All right. We've been lucky with no flooding down on the East Rim, but no incidences down there.
Knock on wood.
Yeah.
Action staging services.
Okay. In the coming days, hopefully early middle part of next week, I will be putting together an RFP. I just wanted to make you guys aware of this. To be sent out to four or five consultants to receive proposals for inspection and staking services. Mentioned earlier, we're in the need to hire an inspector to assist with this year's street projects. Included in this contract would be construction staking. I'll get that out soon and bring the results back to this committee and then to the village board.
Well, is it specific projects all detailed, or is it just, you know, hourly rate, or?
Hourly rate. Within the RFP will be an approximation of how many hours. That time frame would be from early to middle of May to early to middle of October. We're going to be reconstructing hopefully three streets this year, which includes Roselawn, Beaumont, and Culp. My hope is that my thoughts are that the consultant that we hire, that I would put that person on the larger of the two projects, and Derek would be on inspecting the Roselawn, and Jeff would be overseeing the inspection of these two projects along with the other projects if we have, and that the seasonal engineering inspector would be at Jeff and Derek's disposal for assistance to help with the workload. That's all I had.
Well,
Lynn.
Yes.
You might. Okay, good. Thought maybe there for a minute you were muted, but you're not.
Yeah. Just thinking.
No, but there's a lag. And okay. I think we've lost Jim.
The president?
Yes, or at least I've lost him on my screen. So.
Yeah, Jim. Jim had to leave.
Okay.
Was it my question that made him go away?
Yeah. Oh, no, I just opened up the chat and saw that. So, okay.
Get him out of here.
Any further questions on any of these, or do we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Favor.
Aye.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Thank you all for joining us.
Good job.
Have a great night. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Have a good evening.
You too. Give yourself a note that 15 years now, let me know.